You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. I'm here today with Tony Vail, who's going to tell us all about radio plays. Hi, Tony. Thank you very much for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And hello to everybody.
Can you tell me how you first got into writing audio plays for radio?
Well, I was interested in writing right from a fairly young age. I used to do a village newsletter and so on. And subsequently to that, I met the person who eventually became my wife, Georgette Vail, and her interest was in local theatre. That's to say, performing in a local drama group. I'd never really want to do that beyond stage or backstage, but I thought I could possibly have a go at writing a play. So I did that. I had an idea for a 10-minute play, and that kind of started me on my road of playwriting, and I've now written over 100.
Can you tell me about your involvement in 4x4 and the process of writing and producing plays for radio?
Part of the challenge of when you write anything, whether it's a play or a book, is actually getting it out into the world, into the audience, as it were. As a result of having one or two contacts within the amateur theatre world, I teamed up with three other playwrights in order for us to work together to get our work out into an audience. Originally, we were thinking in terms of stage plays, but then subsequently, we started to write radio plays. And 4x4 ended up being a group that produced plays. And our very first performance was actually in 2009. And that was a set of stage plays. A number of the plays I've written can be adapted to audio. It's a slightly different technique, but I have a particular interest in that medium. So I was quite happy to experiment with it. I tend to write plays which have non-human characters. So, for example, I've written a play where there's a conversation between a knife and a fork. There's a conversation between a human and a postbox. And actually, those sorts of plays are easier and better done in audio because the audience has to have the pictures in their own minds as to what these characters look like.
Are there any favourite plays which you have written and why?
One of my favourites is centred on a cat, a black and white cat called Willie. And it's actually written as a stage play, but it's probably easier to do as an audio one because this play has got both cats and humans in it. And the cats have conversations with each other. But of course, the humans don't understand the conversation between the cat and them. And it just so happens that I was invited to write a 10-minute monologue for a fundraising event for the Liverpool Fringe Festival. And I submitted a 10-minute piece, which was kind of modelled on that play, where it was called Willie's Story. And Willie is telling the story of his life in the house and also his life outside on the other side of the cat flap, because there's lots of challenges there as well. So I rather like that one. From an audio point of view, I also like Norman Has Gone Before. It's a kind of parody on Star Trek, but Norman is a 69-year-old pensioner, and there's a whole system of body management inside him. This is controlled from the bridge of his nose, and there are officers who are in charge of each of the process. And during the course of the play, we visit different parts of Norman's anatomy, including his knee, where he had an operation, and his heart, because his heart's been replaced by one that's only 23 years old, and so on. So it's a great opportunity for lots of sound effects for that. And again, it's very much down to the listener's imagination.
How can people listen to any of your audio plays?
There are some on the internet. The play I mentioned about the knife and fork is called Coming Out. And it's on YouTube. So Googling Tony Vail Coming Out will probably find it. But also there's a podcast which listeners might find of interest if you're podcast fans. It's actually produced by a playwright called Rachel Feeney Williams. She's based in Exeter and she's written literally hundreds of plays. But apart from kind of promoting her own work, she also works to support other playwrights. And she set up this podcast called Theatrical Shenanigans. And there are about, I think it's just come up to 150 postings on it. And each one of them is an audio play with a little introduction. Some of them have conversation with a playwright. And I've had one or two plays on that podcast. So there's one called A Trifle Upset, which was modelled on the late Queen's Jubilee, and it was about a trifle, a lemon trifle. There was another one called Missing the Marrow. There's another called Righting Wrongs, writing spelled W-R-I-T-I-N-G. And that was my attempt to explain to the listener how a play is formulated. So the play itself starts where the character approaches the bench. The writer is sitting on the bench, and then the character says, "Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm writing a play. Oh, who's in the play? Oh, you are." And so it goes on. It develops into a conversation where the play is created during the course of the conversation, if you see what I mean.
What advice would you give to anyone wishing to produce or write audio plays?
Well, first of all, plays are just one particular medium. Any kind of writing, whether it's personal memories or poems or stories, novels, I would encourage people to do that, whichever suits them. I happen to like playwriting. There are some commonalities with that and writing short stories and writing novels in that the key to any story is the character or characters. Usually there's a primary one, or there might be more than that. So if a person had an idea of a character that they wanted to present in their story, and then putting that character in a situation that challenges them to take some action or go on a journey or whatever it is, then these are the principles for all of those things, stories, plays. Audio plays, as I mentioned, give you a bit more scope because you can refer to 10,000 people standing over the back there without necessarily incurring all the expenses of that if you were trying to put it on the stage. And it also enables you to kind of go inside the head of the listener. I've written a play, for example, where a daughter is writing the memoirs of her late father, and her father visits her regularly and discusses with her what should go in the book. So it's called Ghost Writer on the basis that the writer is in fact a ghost, that's her father, but the actual writing is being done by the daughter, who is a ghost writer, as it were. That principle of being able to engage with people, places, objects, the audio play gives you scope to do anything you want, really.
Where can people go to learn more about your work?
If anybody was interested to know more about playwriting and how to get involved, I'm very happy to talk to them. They could email me, and my email address is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at valemail, V-A-L-E-M-A-I-L, .uk. I'd certainly be happy or interested in talking to anybody with an interest in playwriting if they wanted to drop me an email and discuss it.
Thanks, Tony, for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.